First Presbyterian Church of Kalamazoo is marking a very significant musical anniversary this year, and they'll be presenting a whole year of events for listeners to enjoy. And here in the studio, live with me this morning on Classical WMUK, are the Director of Music at First Presbyterian, Cindy Hunter. Welcome.
Thank you, Kara.
Nice to have you here. And organist of First Pres, and that's Michael Montgomery.
Hi, nice to be here.
Thanks for joining me. So let's, you know, when anniversaries show up, usually you have to realize it a year or two in advance, such as, you know, this is the Beethoven birth anniversary. He was born in 1770, and music organizations worldwide probably started thinking about it 3-5 years ago, I don't know. So what brought this realization to mind that this was something to celebrate?
Well, one of my mentors, Tom Kasdorf, reminded me several years ago that the anniversary was approaching.
Really?
And that we needed to start thinking about that. So last year we began in earnest. We formed a committee of folks that had been members at First Presbyterian the entire 50 years the organ has been there, and those that are newer, such as myself and Michael. We have choir members, we have other church members, and began to brainstorm about what we wanted the year to look like and what sort of events we would like to plan.
Let's look at what you're celebrating. This is a very special instrument, and it was installed 50 years ago. Is that the...
That's correct. I'll let Michael speak to that.
Yes. Well, the story actually is sort of interesting. We found out when we formed this committee that in 1968, the former organ actually caught on fire. So that was the reason that this new organ was designed and installed. But yet it was installed in 1970. It's representative of the neo-Baroque style. So really well suited for Bach and Buxtehude and other Baroque bright, fancy works. And just the sheer size of this instrument, I think, is really special. 63 ranks, so a humongous size and sound.
The sanctuary itself is a pretty magnificent space. So, as you said, designed and then built. So when an organ building company provides an organ, they don't just mock one up in their studio and say, here you go. Mm-hmm. They have to literally start from the ground up, meaning the space that is provided in the sanctuary itself or the church itself.
That's correct. And they selected the Cassavant Organ Company, which is based in Quebec, Canada, to specifically design this instrument for our space.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take them to put it together?
I think about 1.5-2 years. It's different for every project, depending on the size of the building and the placement of the instrument. But with this, it was about 2 years.
So after the devastating loss of the previous organ, it was a year and a half before you heard the sound of organ at First Presbyterian 50 years ago.
That's correct. And one of the most noticeable differences is that the previous organ was in the front loft with the organ chambers in the front, and the decision was made to have this instrument installed in the rear loft.
Mm-hmm.
That would make a difference to the organist and
choir
director and everybody. It's a whole different orientation.
Completely different. And that one is actually more traditional. If you look at the cathedrals in Europe, they're mostly in the rear gallery.
So it follows along maybe historic lines then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What else can you tell me about the importance of this instrument? Does it compare to others nearby? Is it more of a single gem in the... in West Michigan? Every organ is special, I think you'd say, Michael.
Absolutely. I think this one in this town is actually pretty unique. Of all of the instruments on Bronson Park, it's one of the oldest that hasn't been rebuilt yet. And it is the only neo-Baroque on Bronson Park, one of only a few downtown. And the amount of unenclosed pipes, which are louder than the enclosed ones, is greater. And we have the largest trumpet en chamade, the horizontal trumpet that faces into the congregation in town. So it's quite an exciting sound when you hear it. I think that's what makes it special to me.
You studied organ. Where did you get your education?
Well, I'm actually a current student at Western. I'm studying voice performance, but I studied organ privately with Carl Schrock, the longtime university organist here.
Do you feel privileged to use and play on this instrument?
Oh, absolutely. when I started at Western, I mean, our choir concerts are at First Presbyterian, so you've been around. And I just couldn't stop looking at the building and watching the organist play. And so when this job opened up, I just, you know, thought I'd apply to see how far I could go. And then interview after interview, and then getting the job, it was just a dream come true. I'm very lucky.
Cindy, have you played on this organ?
Oh, yes. I only play it occasionally, but it's a treat every single time. It can be a little intimidating, but... we are very lucky to have it. Kalamazoo is very unique. We've actually hosted American Guild of Organists conventions here because we have so many instruments in such a small geographical location. But I feel very lucky
to
be
at... It's for organists.
Absolutely.
It's an organ town.
Michael mentioned the trumpet en chemise. That particular rank of pipes was added in 2008. So that is one of the additions since the original installation. And it was to mark the 40th anniversary of the former director of music, Tom Castor.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I hope Tom is listening right now.
I hope so, too.
Hi, Tom.
Now, let's talk about what it takes to maintain an instrument over 50 years. What budget is set aside? Who's the expert that goes in and, you know, fiddles around if something's not sounding right? And you know, how do you, I know that with a piano, you hire a piano tuner. What's the procedure with an organ?
Well, we have a schedule of quarterly tunings, which are really important to keep up with instruments in a building that isn't always a consistent temperature. Tuning can be wild, so our reed pipes need to be tuned more regularly and other sensitive pipes, but yeah.
Occasionally we'll have a cipher, which is when there's a pipe that plays when you don't want it to, and we'll have to call in a technician to adjust something like that, and that's often related to humidity changes and that sort of thing.
Valves getting stuck open.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Little mechanical idiosyncrasies.
But it'd be kind of funny to hear it occur. It might sound like a ghost note is playing somewhere.
Exactly.
Well, it depends on the rank. I mean, if it's the 16-foot Bombard, it might sound like a jet plane rather than a ghost.
They're almost like living creatures that need food and caring.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And like the fact that there are fewer and fewer organists available, there are fewer and fewer organ technicians mm-hmm. out there today. So it can be a challenge to find someone to work on it. We're currently using someone out of Grand Rapids, and we've already given him our schedule of events for the year so mm-hmm. that we can be sure and have the support we need.
We're about to talk about that schedule of events, but I wanted to remind listeners here on Classical WMUK that my guests are Director of Music at First Presbyterian, Cindy Hunter, and organist Michael Montgomery, a Western Michigan University student and the organist for First Pres. And the Cassavant organ, which was installed 50 years ago, will be celebrated this year with a whole series of events. You started working on this years ago, so what happens first? Why don't we just go down the line?
Thank you. Well, in preparation, we knew we wanted every event to feature the organ, and we have events that are organ and choir. We have events that are organ and solo voice, organ and brass, organ only with guest artists. But our very first event is this coming Sunday, January 26th at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and it takes the form of a choral evensong service, which is based in the Anglican tradition. It's a sung primarily service with choir. It also features a vocal quartet. We have an organ prelude that includes an oboist, Caitlin Kramer, here in town. Mm. So it's a very special event, and we particularly wanted our first event to be in the form of a worship service mm-hmm. in celebration of the organ, and we'll actually rededicate it this Sunday.
Meaning that it's dedicated in service of the church?
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's part of the work of First Presbyterian.
Yes,
that's correct.
Supported the singing and the praise of the church so well. So.
Mm. I like that it's an evening song.
That's
right.
Correct.
It's 4 o'clock at the time when, you know, light is fading a little bit,
yes.
And it feels good to gather and sing with people.
And that's the point. You hit the nail right on the head, Kara. That's the point of evensong, to pray for safety through the evening and the night. And it sort of turned into, over the years, a celebration of music because of the singing.
Well, I hope that people who join you on Sunday at 4 o'clock at First Presbyterian Church will be listening especially for the beautiful tones of the organ. Mm. Did you pick out a series of pieces that would go through the service?
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly sung, you said?
It's mostly sung. And at Michael's suggestion, kind of the core of the service is based on the Stanford Magnificat and Nunc Dimittis in G. And those feature the organ in a special way. There are many, many settings of those two pieces, which are always included in evensong. But this particular setting features a soprano soloist and a tenor soloist and the organ.
Is it, it's not a ticketed event, I'm assuming.
It's
either.
Not. Yeah. It's a free event, as are all of them.
Okay. Online, can people look at a schedule?
Yes, we will have our brochure for the entire year posted on the First Presbyterian Church website.
First Pres also has a Facebook page where you can keep up with each event as they come. And I didn't count. How many events have you counted? It's a lot.
I think 16?
Somewhere between 12 and 16, yes.
More than once a month for the next year.
That's correct.
So it all kicks off on Sunday at 4 o'clock with a choral evensong. And I think you'll be able to grab the brochure to put on your fridge for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. We'll have lots of extra copies available.
Well, let's move ahead and highlight some of the upcoming events beyond Sunday.
We have several guest artists that will be joining us. On Sunday, March 15th at 4 p.m., we will feature Dr. Nora Duncan, who is the director of choral activities at Wayne State University, a renowned organist as well as choral conductor. And then in September, on the 13th, we will be featuring at 4 p.m. Dr. John Shearer, who is the director of music at Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago and also a renowned organ recitalist.
Mm-hmm. So these are going to be full organ recitals. So if you want to hear the organ itself in every color possible, come
that
to these
correct.
Soloist recitals in March and September.
Correct.
I do see an American Guild of Organists.
Yes, we have several American Guild of Organists events. On Monday evening, February 10th, our local Southwest Michigan chapter members will be giving a recital at 7 p.m. And then as part of the Bach Festival on June 1st, they always sponsor Bach Around the Block, which is where patrons go from church to church on Bronson Park, and First Presbyterian will be one of the stops that evening as well.
As it always is.
As it always is.
As it always is.
As you were saying, Michael, each organ in this area has a special history and special qualities, and Kalamazoo is a treasure trove of
We are
great
so lucky to be. When I first moved into Kalamazoo, it was shocking how many good church music programs and incredible buildings, even, let alone organs, we have here.
When you become a organist for a church like First Presbyterian, you must get to know the instrument really well, but it takes a while, right?
It does. It took me about a year to really settle in. The first
year
was a lot of experimentation. What combinations did I like? What worked for what style? You know, Baroque registration versus Romantic registration, what works well on this instrument. But after a year, I've really sort of settled in.
And now someone like Dr. Noah Duncan or Dr. John Shearer, who have a lot of experience, they'll probably still take a day or so, maybe 2 days, to come and learn the instrument before giving a recital. It's like no other music practice I know.
Exactly. It's unlike being a pianist, where every instrument is different, but they're basically quite similar, versus an organ, where they are vastly different. Mm-hmm. So we will share the registrations, the specifics of the organ with our recitalists in advance so they can be thinking about what they might like. Our instrument has a very extensive memory system, so they can then select the registrations, save them, and using a series of pistons, pull up their registrations during their performance.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing to learn about organ. If you're for some reason, I've just always grown up with this idea that they're still mechanical. A lot of them, though, have different levels of automation, really.
Yes.
And the physical sound is still, real mm-hmm. and physical, but the means of forcing air through pipes has changed and developed over centuries.
Yes, the particular memory system we have currently was added in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fairly recent addition. The console is original, but there have been updates.
Gosh, that's why I like talking to organists and organ enthusiasts, because there is so much going on with this thing. I play the flute, which is a tube with holes and keys.
Yes.
I play like a millionth of what an organ is. And that's why they go under the radar. And they're expected to be there every Sunday during mm-hmm. service. But when you really look at it, organs are just miraculous instruments.
They really
They're very complex.
Oh, yes.
One of the opportunities that we're going to have is on April 26th, following morning worship at about 11:15, we are going to give people an opportunity, what we call an organ petting zoo. And they can come up to the rear loft and look at the console, hear different stops demonstrated, and they can actually walk through the inside of the organ chamber and see where all the pipes are located and where the magic happens.
That's great. You were talking earlier about running low on organ technicians, that it's not a profession that is drawing in a lot of people. One thing that organ technicians need to be is somewhat bendy.
Yeah.
They have to crawl around
behind
walls and to just locate parts of the instrument that is installed inside a building, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's true. There are many ladders inside in very narrow spaces. Yeah. Before Elizabeth Bruce, one of our previous organists, who we will be bringing back on August 7th for a recital, before she left First Presbyterian, she went all the way to the top of the organ chambers and took a photo. It looked terrifying.
Oh, yes.
I don't think I'll go up that far.
I've only been up once, and I was very slow getting down. Let's just say that.
Well, let me recap some of the events we've looked at already. We are talking about the 50th anniversary organ events presented at First Presbyterian Church in downtown Kalamazoo, celebrating the Cassavant Brothers pipe organ, which was installed 50 years ago after a devastating fire where you lost the previous instrument. The Cassavant Brothers, as you said, was a Quebecois company. Is it still in business?
It is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is still a
very
still
active.
Going
they just
concern.
Installed a huge organ in Hope College in Holland, actually.
Wonderful. Yeah. A sister organ, or a brother's
organ. A much younger sister.
So we have already talked about this Sunday's Choral Evensong. It begins at 4 o'clock. All of these events are free, by the way. And Cindy, you mentioned two organ soloists. What are the dates again for Dr. Duncan? And
Dr. Nora Duncan from Wayne State University will be performing at 4 p.m. on March 15th, and Dr. John Shearer from Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago will be performing on September 13th.
There's an organ petting zoo for those who are getting curious about what organs are, and that's on April 26th at following morning worship. So that'll be on Sunday, and details on these and other events are at the First Presbyterian website, and you can also pick up a full schedule this Sunday at 4 o'clock. other concerts to look at?
Yes, I'd like to mention several that will feature the adult choir in addition to this Sunday. On Sunday, November 1st, which is All Saints Day, at 4 p.m., we will be presenting the Ferret Requiem with chamber orchestra and organ and soprano and baritone solos.
One of my favorite works, the Ferret Requiem.
And the interesting thing about that was the piece that was performed at the inaugural performance of the organ 50 years ago. So we thought it was important to bring that same piece back for the 50th anniversary.
Very fitting.
And then we will be closing out our year's worth of events at the Advent Vesper service on Sunday, December 13th at 6 p.m., and we will be presenting that in the form of lessons and carols, including the John Rutter Gloria with organ, brass, and percussion. And those, again, will both feature our excellent adult choir.
It seems like Advent is a long ways away right
yes.
now, but the time just flies.
Oh,
that's
does.
True. I want Michael to mention the one that we will be presenting on October 25th at 4 p.m.
Yes, on October 25th at 4, we'll have what's called a Halloween Spooktacular, which actually Elizabeth Bruth started during her tenure year here. It'll be a spooky concert, and everyone's invited to come in costume and hear the classics like Toccata and Fugue in D minor or the Boheman Cantata. And then following that, we will have a trunk or treat for kids. So it really is welcome to the whole family.
We have a tiny bit of time here to take a short musical break and then return with some final thoughts on the Kesavant's 50th anniversary year and the whole series of events. I'd like to hear some Bach from this recording. Marie-Claire Alain, who is a beloved organist, now passed away, but her Bach is always a joy to hear. And I believe she's playing here somewhere in France, the Schwenkettel de la Collegiale de Saint-Donat, a French organ somewhere in France. But let's listen to some Bach. Marie-Claire Alain with a short chorale by Johann Sebastian Bach. And if you tuned in during that short piece, I'm with Cindy Hunter, the director of music at First Presbyterian Church in Kalamazoo, and the organist of First Presbyterian Church, Michael Montgomery. We've been going down a cascade of events that First Presbyterian has planned to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the organ, the Kesavant organ, being installed. It's something that literally it does happen maybe every 50 to 100 years. And sometimes, you know, we're talking many hundreds of years of organs being maintained in sacred spaces. like First Press. I said that we would be talking about any final events we could think of, and there are some important things to talk about and important collaborations, Cindy.
Yes, we are lucky to have several community partners. The Gilmore Keyboard Festival is helping to sponsor Dr. John Shearer's recital September 13th. And the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music is co-sponsoring a recital on November 22nd at 4 p.m. called Sound the Trumpet that will feature our guest brass quintet that we often have at First Presbyterian.
Brass and organ?
What brass and organ
classic
pieces.
Classic combination.
Absolutely.
Would you tell me again when the Fauré Requiem will be performed?
Yes, that will be performed in its 50th anniversary performance on November 1st at 4 p.m. All Saints Day.
Okay. And we'd like to point out Marilyn Osinchuk is going to give a recital as well.
Yes, Marilyn Osinchuk is the current university organist here at Western. She took over for Carl Schrock when he retired. And she'll be presenting a recital on Sunday, May 15th at 4 p.m., also featuring her two organ majors, Brendan Carter and Mackenzie Hamlin.
We are throwing out lots of dates, lots of times. We can assure people that all the locations are at First Presbyterian Church, but if it's getting a little hazy, be assured that a schedule is published and you can even pick one up at the first event this Sunday at 4 o'clock, a choral evensong with organ rededication. How long will this first event take? Do you think?
My guess is just under an hour.
Just under an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what kicks off a whole year of celebration for an instrument that deserves some celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. Many generations have enjoyed worshiping with this instrument at First Presbyterian, and we are privileged to continue that tradition.
Absolutely.
I would also point out that it's not a full year of simply organ. There's many mm-hmm. other musicians and colors and community togetherness represented on this year of events with many ways to hear the organ and celebrate it.
Absolutely.
That's true. We have things for all ages to enjoy.
Any final thoughts, Cindy and Michael?
I would just like to thank our committee who helped plan this event. They include Mary Lou Boughton, Ellie Carter, Norm Goodling, Norma Smith, Nancy Thiel, and Tom Kasdorf. It was wonderful meeting with them and brainstorming different ways to celebrate the organ.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're a busy woman, Cindy, so that you need the help of many friends to bring this all together. Mm-hmm. And Michael, what are your thoughts about this year ahead?
I'm just grateful that I could be a part of it and that starting here, we could do such a magnificent year of events. I just want to stress that there's something for everyone. Organ music, we tend to think of it just as huge and loud and celebratory, but you can hear really every crayon in the crayon box all throughout this year.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you both. Right now here on Classical WMUK, we're counting down to about 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, we'll be going live to Detroit Symphony Hall to hear a live concert from the Detroit Symphony. And in the meantime, let's hear a little more from Marie-Claire Alain and some Bach. And I just want to thank you both for coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kara.